Thank you, Nikkel, for sharing your two favorite hymns. Beautiful hymns. This is my Father's world. Amen? Amen? And many times we don't see it. It doesn't look like it's our Father's home because the things that we hear in the news, the things that we experience personally, just in a way doesn't seem right. And in many ways we struggle just with the idea of God. How could you love a world like ours? How could you give your only son, Jesus, to come and die for human beings like us? Amazing love. We look at the world and how fast it's changing. You look at the stock market, it was up and now it's down, and they blame China, they blame Greece, they blame everybody for what's happening in the economy. You look at our society and how quickly it's changing and how people have a hard time getting along with each other. You look at families, you look at the church, and everywhere we can see how difficult it is to do what is right. But the invitation that we find from Scripture is to do what is right. And we can think sometimes, hey, I've read it and I think I understand it, but what can a first century author like Peter teach a 21st century person like me? Is there anything in this book that can speak to the situations that we are living through, that we are facing as a nation, as a church, as families, as individuals? And brothers and sisters, I want to say yes, there is answers in this book, the Holy Scriptures. And we can go back to the prophet Micah. Chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord desires of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Have any of you heard of Dr. Henry Cloud? No? He wrote a book called Boundaries. If you have the opportunity to look through this. It's a powerful book. But he sends these quotes, and I get to read them. And he says there are four good questions to ask. And it caught my attention. I want to share them with you. What is in the other person's best interest? Amen? When we're going to do something, what is in the other person's best interest? What is legal? What is ethical or moral? And what is in my interest? He has shown thee, O man, what is good. Last week, Pastor Jeff shared with us from 1 Peter chapter 2. And he shared that we, the church, are described there as being living stones. And we, the church, are described as being God's royal priesthood, His holy nation, a chosen people. That's how God describes us. And this is important because Peter uses this view of who we are to tell us what he's going to tell us in verses 11 through 25. In summary, Peter says, you are God's special people. Do you like to know that you're special, brothers and sisters? Yes? God tells you that from the beginning, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. You are special. And I didn't think this message was such an important message, but I discovered it was an important message when I was going back to school, flying from San Diego to London, Geneva, Switzerland. And when I arrived in London, I had to wait for 2 hours to get on the next plane. And there were a group of young people, and they were going back to school. like many of the young people here. They're going back to school. They're talking to each other as if they know each other. There are two young ladies, parents, diplomats, there in Geneva, Switzerland, for the U.S. government. There was a young man. His father was the ambassador for Mexico at the United Nations. There was a young girl whose dad worked in Mexico City at a big company, was one of the executives there, and she had just flown from Mexico City and was going back to school. And I sat right next to her, and I asked her a question. I asked her, "What do you think people want to hear today?" And she looked at me and she said, "They want to know that they are special." That caught my attention. I thought, wow, this is a pretty special group of people. They're going to prestigious school. Their parents work for different governments and institutions. And you would think they know they're special. But it's a message that clearly comes from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. You're God's chosen people, His royal priesthood, His holy nation. That's how God describes you and me. So I invite you to go open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter, and we're going to go to chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 11 to begin with. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. And Peter here starts by saying, "Dearly beloved." Have you ever received a letter or an email that starts like that? "Dearly beloved." It's talking to a friend, to someone he knows. He's talking to the church and saying, "You're someone who is loved, not only by me, but by God. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as," and then comes the word, "strangers and pilgrims." In other versions, you might see the word as aliens and pilgrims. Do you sometimes feel like this is not your home? This world is not our home? And Peter reminds the church, hey, this is not our home. We are God's holy people, His royal priesthood, His holy nation. Therefore, he tells them, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. The word for soul in Greek is psyche, and we get the word psychology there, or psychiatry. Abstain from fleshly lust, which wars against the mind, which wars against your being, which tells you, no, you're not holy. No, you're not God's royal priesthood. No, you're not chosen. Abstain from it. And I see a lot of young people today. And all of us who are 25 or older, we would say the same thing, wouldn't we, brothers and sisters? Abstain from fleshly lust. Not worth it. Satan wants to destroy. Some of you probably heard in the news this week, the firm, the company, Ashley Madison, I believe. 38 million people whose names were thrown out into the World Wide Web. And these were all people who were cheating on their spouse. A group of hackers said, "We're going to do this." And they threw it out. Satan wants to shame us. Satan wants to destroy us. And many of these people will lose their jobs because of that. Many of them will lose their family because of that. And some of them that live in some of the Middle Eastern countries can even lose their life because of that. And Peter tells the church, abstain from fleshly lusts. We might want to think, well, it only has to do with immorality, but if you go with me to Galatians chapter 5, it tells us there the fruits of the flesh. And it encompasses more than just adultery. Galatians chapter 5, and starting with verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Abstain, says the word of God. Amen? Abstain. Don't have anything to do with it. It's like an amoeba. It starts small, but it can destroy. It can kill. It brings pain and hurt. Peter continues on telling us, in fact, I want to share this quote with you from Spirit of Prophecy, Counsels on Diet. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, is the language of the Apostle Peter. Many regard this warning as applicable only to the licentious, but it has a broader meaning. It guards against every injurious gratification of appetite or passion. It is a most forcible warning against the use of such stimulants and narcotics as tea, coffee, tobacco, alcohol, and morphine. And she says why we should abstain. They lower the standard of what? Of spirituality. They lower the standard of spirituality. God says, don't do these things because they bring separation between us and Him. Don't fall for the tricks of the enemy. And I'm going to go back to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, Christians, do what is good. Even if people laugh at you, even if people think you're weird, even if people think you're strange, even if you stick out as a sore thumb, do what is good. Because when Jesus comes again, even those who have laughed, even those who've said, hey, you're weird, you're different, they'll have to recognize that you were right. Amen? In the day of visitation, when Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead, the world will recognize that God's children who do good works, that they were right. And so he continues saying, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors. What? Submit yourselves to whom? To the ordinances of man for the Lord's sake. And you might think, Pastor Sam, there's some pretty bad governments out there. I can tell you of one. Cuba. My mom's from Cuba. I've been to Cuba. And I've seen how the Cuban people are suffering under that communist regime. But the Bible tells us what? To submit. When Jesus was upon the earth, were the Romans good to the Jews? Were the Romans good to Christians? They weren't. And God, through his prophets, through his apostles, said, submit. to these institutions. As long as they don't go against my word. That's the principle. If they ask you to walk a mile, walk with them 2 miles. If they hit you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. Submit to the governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. They have a purpose. They have a function. They are there to keep law and order, to make sure people do the right thing. Sister White shares the following quote, which I want to share with you as well. The government under which Jesus lived was corrupt and oppressive. Yet the Savior attempted no civil reforms. He attacked no national abuses, nor condemned the national enemies. He did not interfere with the authority or administration of those in power. He who was our example kept aloof from earthly governments, not because he was indifferent to the woes of men, but because the remedy did not lie in merely human and external measures. To be efficient, the cure must reach men individually and must regenerate the heart. When Jesus came to earth, he came to save you and me. Amen? And he didn't use government officials to do that. He came to each one of us personally and made an invitation and told us, hey, you're special. You were created by me. You were created for a purpose. That is to praise me, to give me glory. You were made to form a house of prayer. You were made to give praises to the one who created the heavens and the earth. And so Peter continues saying, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing, verse 15, ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What he was saying here is, hey, abide by the laws of the land. It's important. And as you abide by them, people, even though they see you differently and talk about you because you're different, they'll recognize you are still doing the right thing. Don't provoke those in your community to think otherwise. But I invite you, church, to follow the laws of the land. And he continued expressing the following, verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Who do we serve? Do we serve our boss? Do we serve our company? Do we serve our parents? Who do we really serve when we're serving? We're serving God. He's the one that we serve. And we are free to do it. But let us not use our freedom to hide evil. But as servants of God, let us do what is good. Good. When Peter was writing this, there were a lot of people who were under slavery. Some of them had lost their homes, their land. They calculate there were about 60 million slaves. Some of them had sold themselves into slavery. They had said, hey, I want to be your slave. I see you have a nice house. I see you give good food. And I don't have anything. So I want to be part of your household. Half of the population in Peter's time were slaves. So you can imagine half of the church, many Jews, many Gentiles, were also serving others. And this is what he invites them to do. Verse 17, honor all men. Is that easy to do, brothers and sisters? honor all men. Seems impossible for us. At least when the person who is on the other side of that counter isn't being nice to me, boy, do I want to let them know what I'm thinking. But God tells me, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Is that easy to do? Are you sure? Christians are nice to each other, aren't they? Mercy. Love the brotherhood. And the only way we can love the brotherhood is if Jesus' love is in each one of our hearts. And he says, honor the king. But that king, he's idolatrous. That king, he treats us mean. In fact, we're running from him. We're being persecuted as a church. And Peter says, honor the king. I want to tell you something probably not new to you. But Christians suffer a lot, don't they? To be a Christian is not easy. To be a follower of Christ is not easy. Bad things happen to good people. And Peter, knowing that the church was going through difficult times, he encouraged them by telling them who they were. You're God's special people, God's chosen people, his royal priesthood. And because of this, if you are serving someone, be subject to your master. Be subject to your boss. He might not be fair to you. And your coworkers might not be treating you right. But do this with all fear. And not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thanksworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. Amen? This is acceptable to God. When you're doing the right thing and people around you think you're not. In fact, they're criticizing you, or they're making life hard for you, or they're threatening to fire you. Still, do the right thing. It's worth it. It brings praise to God. It brings glory to God. It tells the world that there is a people that represent God on earth. Amen? And they want to show that this world is our Father's world. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called. How many of you feel that you were called to suffer? Can I see your hands? We were called to suffer. Doesn't sound like good news, Pastor Sam. I had a really bad week. And I didn't come to hear that. Christians are here to suffer. But if you are a follower of Jesus, you will suffer in this world. In fact, Peter tells us why we will suffer in this world. We were called to this because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Do you want to follow in Jesus' steps? You will suffer for it. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. A quote from the book of Isaiah. Who, when he was reviled, when he was hit, attacked, talked about, He reviled not again. He didn't do the same to those who were hurting him. When he suffered, when they were poking him with the crown of thorns, when they were beating him with a stick, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Amen? Brothers and sisters, when you are going through terrible times, you can commit your life to the one, the only one who judgeth righteously. Amen? He's there. He's real. And Jesus is proof of it, that God is real. There's no way anyone could endure what he endured if God did not exist. And so when we're going through difficult times, we are invited to surrender our life to Jesus, to commit our life to him. There's no other way to obtain eternal life, amen? But to surrender all to Jesus. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Again, Peter saying, Christians, do the right things. Not on your own strength, but on the strength that Jesus Christ gives each one of us. Do the right thing, by whose stripes you were healed. Has this world hurt you too? There's healing in what Jesus Christ did for you and me on that cross. By whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We've been brought back to the only one who can guide us. To the only one who knows what we're feeling, what we're going through. To the only one who knows the future. Amen? The good shepherd, Jesus. And I want to think that Peter, when he was talking, hey, you've been brought back as sheep who've gone astray, you've been brought back to this good shepherd. You know what John says about Jesus and why he is the good shepherd? In fact, he heard this from Jesus himself. And this is what we find in John chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. I am the good shepherd, said Jesus. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Would you trust somebody who would give his life for you? I would trust somebody who would put his life on the line for me. That's love. That's Jesus. We can trust him, brothers and sisters, in every situation, be it at home, be it at work, be it at church. Wherever we go, we can follow him. We can follow in his footsteps. That's the invitation. Why? Because we are God's people. We are his chosen people, his holy nation, his royal priesthood. And Jesus continues on by saying the following, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Are you looking forward to that day, brothers and sisters? I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to come tomorrow. It's a tough world we live in. And it's going to be even tougher for the young people that are here today. And if there's ever a time that we need to be praying for one another, is now. Jesus is coming very soon. And you might be asking yourself the question, how can I be ready? Well, praise God for his word, amen? That tells us what we need to do. It's clear. Don't do this. Do this. and you will be okay. Amen? This is the roadmap. It's clear. And it points us always to Jesus, the one, the shepherd, and bishop of your souls. Amen.